Starting our new series tonight, Bible study from A to Z. And in our books that we got there, there's several words in there that we could have started with in this particular A to Z book we got. It's got abandon, it's got abase, abhor, ability, abnormal, abolish, and then it's got abomination. When I come across that one, abomination, that one just stood out. That would be a good one to start out with here and study. With so much in the news and so many things that are going on right now that would be considered an abomination to God. But what is the definition of the word abomination? What I have located reads, anything that offends the spiritual, religious, or moral sense of a person and causes extreme disgust, hatred, or loathing. Definition of abomination. So, why should we be concerned about abomination? If it's our own disgust, you know, that's bad enough. But the real concern would be, what is an abomination unto God? What mankind does that is considered an abomination? And as you see in our list of verses there, if you go on down, there's one that really stood out as abominable objects, practices. And look now at Proverbs chapter 6. If you will, and we'll start with that tonight. And we'll go back and get some of these others, but this one really classifies the things that are an abomination unto God. And that's where we really should be concerned. What behavior do we have that God would consider an abomination? And in Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 16, it reads, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven. It's like he starts out, there's six things, then he all of a sudden comes to mind, oh, wait a minute, there's seven. The seven things he hates are an abomination unto him, it says. 16 again, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the first one, a proud look. That pride can really mess somebody up. Well, let's read through this, and then we'll go back and expound on it. Verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So let's go back and look at some of these. First one there, in 17, reads, a proud look. Generally, that's pride. When you get all puffed up with pride, that disgusts God, that you've been puffed up. Because you've taken a blessing that He's given you, whether it be an ability, an understanding, good looks, charm, whatever it might be, that you have attributed to yourself and you've gotten prideful about it, was actually a gift, as a blessing of God. But yet you're not giving God the credit and being humble about it and being thankful. You get puffed up with pride and you get that prideful look, that arrogant air about you, you might say. You see this a lot. And the next one, a lying tongue. Flat out telling lies. I mean, that's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not lie. And that disgusts God when you're a liar. In hands that shed innocent blood, thou shalt not kill. Not supposed to kill. And that in there, in the interpretation, is murder. And it is to unjustifiably take the life of someone. Because we know through the scriptures that there are capital punishment, you might say. There are death sentences for many things of the Old Testament. Verse 18. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. That's just plumb filled with Satan, filled with evil, and finding out ways to cause trouble, to cause strife, to invent wicked things, to come up with harmful substances and encourage people to use them, or harmful behaviors and encourage others to become part of that. That would all fall into this. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. So eager to run and stir up trouble, like these riots that you see. Some people just love it. They love to get out there and just tear up something. Many of them don't even have a slightest clue why the riot is occurring. Just, hey, let's go riot. Let's have fun tearing up something. That would be considered this. A false witness that speaketh lies. To falsely accuse someone of something or to spread a rumor that wasn't your personal witness, you did not see it, you become a false witness. That would fall into this. Because basically, if you're not an eyewitness, you're a false witness. If you say so-and-so did such-and-such, well, how do you know? Well, so-and-so told me that so-and-so did so-and-so. Well, did you see it? No. Then all you're doing is saying somebody else said so-and-so did so-and-so. Such-and-such. Whatever. But you get my drift there. If you didn't see it, you didn't witness it, then don't spread it. Because if you do, it's a chance it might not be correct. And then you're guilty of being a false witness. And that disgusts God. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Troublemakers. Busybodies, backstabbers, love the trauma. I mean, the drama queens, they call them. Love to stir up trouble. Those kind of folks. And you have them everywhere. You have them in your family. You got them around where you work. You got them in the church. I mean, they're everywhere. They just love to stir up a little bit of trouble. And a lot of it goes back to telling lies and false witnesses and stirring up something and just love to see the chaos and the destruction, and they live on that, they thrive on it. And it disgusts God. But over in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9, we see another reference here to abominations. In talking about the nations that were abominable, the ones that were practicing anti-Christ, anti-God, ungodly activities that were in the pathway, you might say, of the children of Israel on their journey to the promised land, and some of those that the Lord was having cleaned out. And a warning that goes to the children of Israel throughout that is not to take on those activities that those nations that are an abomination and that aggravate God. And let's look right at here in Deuteronomy 18 and pick it up in verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Like we've been talking about our study in Deuteronomy, is God was using the children of Israel like a scalpel to go in and surgically remove a cancerous people, an abomination. Instead of doing like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah and raining down fire and brimstone, or like he did with the great flood, flood the entire planet, he sent this nation, this group in to surgically remove those ungodly peoples. And he's telling them here, when you do that, don't turn to their ways, because that's why they were getting rid of those people, is because of their evil ways. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. They were actually sacrificing their children to their pagan gods. They would burn them alive. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Let's look at a couple of these that he's talking about here, back over in verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or a daughter to pass through the fire. Today we could relate this to abortion. They were sacrificing these kids back then to get a blessing from their false god, to try to gain something. Today they sacrifice their kids as a matter of convenience. Oh, it's not a good time for me to have a kid. I think I'll murder this one and maybe have one later. It's basically what they do with abortion. So it's, in a sense, the same thing. They murder their children for some selfish gain. Or that useth divination. Divination, of course, is a form of witchcraft, divining. Or an observer of times, which would be astrology. Or an enchanter or a witch, someone who casts spells like black magic or voodoo or any of the others, or a charmer. You see these little Harry Potter witch followers and so forth. Or a consulter with familiar spirits. This one is probably one of the ones that you hear more about today than anything other than astrology. And that is someone who claims that they can speak to your dead loved ones. There's one up in New York who has her own show who claims that she can speak to the dead loved ones. She'll sit down and she'll talk with them and she'll exchange some information. All of its history, all of its past, all of its things that she could actually have this condition or this situation where she is connected with what they call a familiar spirit. That is a demon. And having connection with a demon, she can gain information that Satan knows. They can communicate that to the demon or the demon directly to her. And that demon has perfect memory and will have been in an area or seen and have witnessed certain events and can report those events, always of the past, you notice, to this woman who has this connection with this evil spirit and communicate that to the loved ones. So it makes it sound like, yeah, it's real, because many times it is real. It's a connection directly to Satan, and Satan has that information of the past. He knows the past perfectly well. He didn't have memory problems like we do. So these people that are connected with him can come up with that information when they have that evil spirit within them. And it is becoming very popular these days. It has been more popular in the past, but it's on the increase now. It's returning, and it is by this particular woman here that has a very lucrative business now as a connection to this, even has her own TV show. And making a pretty good living, just like the one that we have an example of in the New Testament that was following the apostles, and then they cast out that evil spirit, and then they got in a heap of trouble and got thrown into prison for it, and so forth. But so we know it's something that is real and that it can be. Now, there are a lot of those out there that call themselves mystics, call themselves psychics and stuff that are just plain frauds. But some of them are genuinely connected to Satan and have this ability that the scriptures talk about. The familiar spirit. That spirit is an evil spirit. Because you cannot communicate with the dead. You can't do it. They are in a separate realm completely. You can communicate with Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. And he can comfort you, and he can give you peace of mind. But you cannot call up your lost loved one or your saved loved one that has passed away. Someone who's in hell, you can't contact them. You can't contact someone who's in heaven. Now, Jesus Christ gave us an example of Him being able to look down into Sheol when He talked about Lazarus and Abraham. He has that ability. He can see both realms because He is a part of that. But we cannot. We can connect ourselves with Satan, and then Satan can see into that. But he's not going to be communicating with those loved ones anyway. He cannot gain access to them. Even the ones that are in hell, Satan has no access to the ones that are in hell. Everybody thinks Satan's ruling hell. Well, no, he's not. He's not in hell. He's not ruling hell. Hell is a separate place altogether. And he will be cast into the lake of fire. But Satan himself will never be in hell. Because hell is a temporary dwelling place for the lost dead. And Satan is going to be thrown into a bottomless pit. And then from there, he'll be cast into the lake of fire. And he will never be around anybody or anyone, none of his demons or anything else. Total solitude and torture, just like everybody else. It won't be a big group, big party and all that, like some people like to imagine. Getting way off track, but anyhow, familiar spirits, wizards, of course, those back to witchcraft. Necromancer. Necromancer goes right back up to those familiar spirits. Necromancer is someone who communicates with the dead. You cannot communicate with the dead. Or someone who worships the dead, and someone who has made a connection with the dead, the necromancy. Proverbs 12:22, which simply says, "Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight." Letting us know that it's His delight when we are truthful. And it is, He hates it, and it disgusts Him when we are liars. And this is a good one here, Proverbs 17, verse 15. If you want to note that one. "He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord." So those that say, "Oh, leave them alone, they were born that way. Oh, it's the society that has made them be that way. Oh, they're just having fun. Oh, they're just kids. Leave them alone." That would be somebody who justifieth the wicked. Saying, "Leave them alone, they're okay doing the wicked thing that they're doing." They're just as guilty of it as if they were doing it when they have that situation. Sometimes you find this when you have a situation where you are enabling someone to do something wicked. You are justifying that. You are providing them a means of being able to do that. And basically saying it's okay, your stamp of approval. And that makes you a part of it. This is one that is very popular today. If you will, turn over to Leviticus chapter 22. So you can mark this one down here. It's just a single verse, but it has been deleted out of some of the translations today. A particular group has come up with a Bible of their own translation so that they can justify their actions. And this is one of the verses that they take out completely. And it's Leviticus 18 and verse 22. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Simple words, simple sentence, simply put, homosexuality is an abomination. It disgusts God. He hates it. It's an abomination. There's no way around that. It's an abomination. So when you have a country that has approved of same-sex marriage, then they are, as it says in Proverbs chapter 17, "He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord." So if you give approval, if you sign into law, and your stamp of approval for someone to be in the act of an abomination, then you become as guilty as the person that's doing that abomination, which we have growing everywhere, which has already been passed in many of the states. And if you look up the laws of marriage here in the state of Virginia, it's already been passed here. It's a little bit of a battle, but it's already written in the laws, because I just was reading them yesterday, that same-sex marriage is legal in the state of Virginia. I mean, anybody in here know that it ever come upon a vote on the ballot? No. It didn't. How did it get there? It's already on our books. Permission, same-sex marriage in the state of Virginia. But we're losing more and more states to this. More and more states are leaning toward allowing same-sex marriage and making it acknowledged from one state to another. But that's what's going on. I mean, and right here it clearly says, anybody who approves of that, justifies it, is just as guilty as those that are a part of it. We have an attitude that is coming. Let me read you about that. The attitude of the people that are in church today. All the way back here, we found that in Paul's teaching to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. When society decides that they want to do things their own way, and then they want approval of the way they want things to be done, or their interpretation of what the Word of God should say instead of what it does say, what do? Right here, Paul teaching Timothy about this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They're not going to want to hear the truth. That's why you see churches that are just totally full, overflowing in this country of the feel-good preachers, the feel-good sermons, and so forth. They're just pep rallies, and they don't get into the good, hard content of the Word of God, where it gives us the directions to live a good, godly life. They want the ones that just tickle their ears, or the itchy ears, as it says here, just want ones to give them what they want to hear. Not what they need to hear, but just what they want to hear.
What kind of churches are those?
I couldn't say that there's a particular denomination that would classify all them, because you're going to find it in all the denominations, because it's individual preachers that have gotten the attitude that, okay, this place is not filling up. What can I do to fill it up? I need to start preaching some stuff that these people want to hear rather than what these people need to hear. And the next thing you know, a denomination that you think might have been good, solid, trustworthy, that suddenly has a church that's getting really big and full. And you go there and you sit down and listen to the sermon. It's like, he had one verse and then he spoke for an hour and didn't even get back into the Bible. But it really made me feel good. I'm going to go back again. You know, did you hear the Word of God, or you just hear a pep rally from some guy who could really tickle your ears, you might say, to give you that little pep rally that you need? All of us do need a pep rally now and then, and the lifting up, yes. But if that's all you're getting, then you don't have the substance to stand solidly when you're going up against Satan and the wiles of the devil. You've got to have the good, hard content that sometimes it hurts to hear. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll close, and we'll get back into this next time. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the guidelines that are in there. Help us to always stay hungry, to dig deep into the scriptures so we can find the true pathway to be on, so that we can be the kind of Christians that we should be, so when people see us, they see you. Not our own faults, not our own failings, but only see you. We thank you so much, and let us always bring honor and glory to you in everything that we do, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.